Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's October 17th, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the planet. Scott, I have to tell you that I have had a love affair for the last 5 years, and it is now coming to an end.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my wife is not going to be happy. Actually, she's probably ecstatic about this, that the love affair is over.
Well, yeah. Does she get to keep the house?
She gets the house, both cars, and the china.
And the china. So the china is important.
I was watching the World Series this week.
Right.
And I just can't do it anymore. I can't defend Phil Hellmuth anymore. I just can't do it. You know, I always thought maybe it was like a character, you know, the poker brat character, kind of like Andrew Dice Clay when he would insult all kinds of minorities and women. And I'd be like, but he's just acting, you know, because I was an immature child thinking, you know, this was funny stuff because he's talking about, you know, all this crap that.
Yeah.
But I can't do it anymore.
The laughter ended after Ford Fairlane.
Yeah, now it's just tears. I actually walked out of that movie. It was so bad.
You and everyone else.
It's one of the very few movies I've ever walked out of. But I can't do it anymore. I can't defend him. I know you don't watch a lot of poker because you're pretty busy, but I TiVo it, and then when late at night, when everyone's asleep, I like a crack addicted person, I watch it in the dark. But I watched this week, and now they were in like the top, it was like the end of day five of the tournament, and there was like top 80 people left. Hellmuth's at the table. And he's involved in a hand with this guy named Christian Dragomir. And
which is a cool name, by the way.
Yeah, that's
pretty Dragomir.
Wild. Dragomir. He raises, this Dragomir guy raises with 10-4. Apparently, you know, like a lot of people, before they play in a tournament or before they play that day, they pick a hand where this is the hand that I'm going to bluff with all day whenever I get it. Well, apparently 10-4 was this guy's hand. He bluffed like three times with it. All three times it worked. So he raises under the gun or under the gun plus one, whatever it was, with the 10-4. If folds around the Hellmuth, then it's like Hellmuth's second hand at the table. And he has ace-king. So Hellmuth re-raises, then goes into his little speech about, honey, this is the hand, you know, that he's going to have aces. I just know it. But this is the hand that you pray for them to re-raise you so you move all in with. And he's going on his whole speech, right? So I'm like, all right, whatever, dude. You know, just calm down. So it gets back to the guy, and he calls with 10-4. Now, that's right there. That's a bad idea. Okay?
Yeah, if you're gonna try to bluff at this and you get caught, then it's time to shut
down. I mean,
you
raised pretty early, and then he has no idea how you play. So obviously, for the Hellmuth to re-raise you, you pretty much know he's got to have a hand there. So to call with 10-4 is really speculative. But he's got a huge stack, and he can afford to do it, and he's thinking, I can probably either felt feel Hellmuth or whatever. So he calls. Flop comes 10-high. So
10-high!
And, of course, Hellmuth checks because he's tight. That's what Hellmuth does. He's a tight player. And the guy bets out, and Helmuth's like, God, you know, and he starts doing all this. You're such an... So, anyway...
Boy, he's got to dodge the bullets.
He says, some idiot, you know, guy raises me, and then I know he's probably got ace-queen, and he's just making a bet, and he shows his ace-king, but he calls him an idiot. So the guy turns to Mattisau, who's at the same table, and says, Mike, what do I have, Mike? And Mike says, I don't know, show him the 8-3, but it ended up being the 10-4, and he slams the 10-4 down, and he's like, and then so they start going back, and that's it. Hellmuth starts getting into the hole. You're an idiot, and he's telling him to his face. Now, you're supposed to get a penalty for that, because you're not allowed to tell people stuff like that.
Yeah, but Phil has a very good penalty insurance policy that he takes out every year before the WSOP, and, you know, it holds up well in these cases.
So they're jawing back and forth. And the guy says, I paid 10... Now, he's got an accent. I don't know where he's from. So he says, I paid $10,000 to get in here. Let me play my $10,000 the way I want to play. You paid nothing. Don't call me. You're an idiot. You got no manners. And they start... So he stands up, and he gets the floor over, and he's like, this is it. 10 times you called me an idiot. And they're going back and forth. And finally, even Mattisau had to tell him, Hellmuth, you're out of line, dude. You're just... And they're wrapping up their chips because they end of day five. And he's like, this is my life, you know, because Chino Ream was there. And He's like, all right, you know, Matt, you know, we understand, Phil. You know, he sucked out on you, but it's poker. Relax. It may be poker to you, but it's my life, he said. But really, I mean, every single time, anytime someone wins a hand against this guy, he's slamming his chips down, he's screaming, he's yelling, he's getting up, he's picking his butt, he's doing all this stuff. I just can't take it anymore. I can't defend him. I always defended him to my wife, to my family, and my friends, to you. anybody who would say anything about him, I'd be like, no, you don't understand. This guy plays perfect poker when he's in tournaments. And he's just, he's amazing. And he's just, I understand where he's coming from. But really, after a while, it gets to be too much, and I can't do it anymore. I can't defend Phil Hellmuth, and I'm really upset about it.
Now, so does this mean that you're going to quit acting like him, minus the butt-picking?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to keep doing the butt-picking. Is that what you're saying?
No. I mean, that's about the only thing you don't do like him. Thankfully.
Yeah. Well, I don't call you guys idiots when we play.
Okay, Phil Jr. I've been defending you for 5 years.
Actually, he's Phil Jr. I'm Phil the Third.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, there we go.
But really, I just... and if I do look like that, then I'm going to have to cut it back because it's just...
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrible. I can't take it anymore.
Well, poker is your life, so...
Yeah, it is now. Because of you. Coming up with this harebrained idea of doing a magazine. Now it's my life. It used to be just a hobby.
Well, you know, lots of other people are trying to make it their life now.
Yeah.
Including a couple people with the final table. The infamous November 9 that we keep talking about.
Because
we fall right into the trap of
nothing
Paris
infamous about
and,
it.
You know...
Purely famous.
Warnings to keep talking about it for months.
You're not even listening to me, are you?
Nope.
But, you know, people want to make money. And they're not happy with the millions that they're probably going to win at the final table. They got to make more money.
Well, I would say they're not happy with it. They just, they could be happier.
Yeah, I know. Well, this guy, Elon Schwartz, may the Schwartz be with you. he's auctioning off space on his shirt on eBay.
And we knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Everybody should do this.
Sure.
I would do that. Wouldn't you do it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But
I'd be like, Burt Young in Rocky, man, with the goldenpalace.com. I watched that freaking Rocky Balboa for like ninth time last night. I love it.
Still haven't seen it.
Well, yeah, it looks better now that I know we've talked to AJ Benzo.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
But anyhow, yeah. So I mean, why not? I mean, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You got valuable real estate there.
Something about space starts at like $37,500.
That's the starting bid on the auction. So
yeah,
you know,
the auction. But if you want to be sure,
not met yet.
If you want to be sure that you're going to get a place on his sleeve or his hat or wherever, you can do it for $200,000. Oh my God, $200,000! That no one's gonna buy $200,000 worth of space on him, are they?
I don't know.
I mean, I heard rumors of Full Tilt paying six figures for stuff. I mean, I think we've talked to Lee
about
it.
Yeah, but they've already got their money in now. They've given someone clean that.
But I'm just saying that if they paid that, then maybe others would too. But that's huge. That's a lot of money. It's going to be rerun in perpetuity on ESPN Classic and ESPN2, whatever, but wow.
Well, it all depends on how long you're going to be on there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is I wonder if he pulls what was that guy, Philip Kim from last year? Philip Hilm from last year. I wonder if he's going to, go from being pretty high up to out in like two hands. Is he going to give anybody a refund? You know, hey, you know, I know I promised you a $200,000 spot and it'd be rerun, but I didn't even make the show. Sorry. What do you do then? Oh, man, that's hilarious.
Well, you know, and you know, this is going to happen, too. You know, poor Schwartz guy here is just trying to make bank on this thing.
Yeah.
And then you got the good old amateur Dunwell. Dennis Phillips, who's the chip leader, I believe.
Yeah, he was really aggressive, apparently.
And, and he's also auctioning off space on his valuable real estate. But, of course, he's doing it for charity.
Yeah.
Sorry, Schwartz.
There you go. There's the high road. There's the high road, because he knows he's going to make, like, $5 million chip leader.
So, now, he's on eBay, too, and all proceeds will go to the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. And I'll put a nice little shameless plug in there because my mother is afflicted with MS. It's a very terrible, terrible disease. So I'm hoping this auction goes very well.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a fantastic thing. And I think that's what more people should do. You know, like remember that kid for the Michael J. Fox Foundation last year?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's just it's a good way to put all this money to good use, too. I mean, a lot of people will say, well, I don't want to see the money go out of the poker community. But that's not. You know, we're talking about a show.
Yeah, it's going to go out of poker charity. Community, but yeah. Might as well go to charity. It's
exactly.
Not like it's going to crack addicts.
Go to Burger King and buy hamburgers for the town of St. Petersburg.
maybe the Ante Up Nation get together and buy up all the available real estate.
That'd be cool. Hey, you know, I didn't put it in the interview last week, but I actually asked Chino Ream to, hey, want to. You know, we're a startup magazine. You know, you're from Florida. You want to wear our... He's like, all depends how much money you guys got. I was like, oh, well, we don't have any money. I was just thinking, you know, you want to do a good deed. He's like, he says, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. That's what he said. I was going to put it on the show, but I was like, nah, I don't want anybody to hear me beg. I was begging him. Please, please. So, hey, man, you've been playing a lot of poker live again. What's the deal? Were you inspired or something? What is going on with you?
Well, I don't know. Just the stars have aligned in the last week, and I've actually...
had chances to do it?
Yeah, I don't know whether I really had time to do it, but I felt like I needed to.
You don't answer to anyone now, so you made time.
Yeah, I answered to the bank account. But, you know, the week started off, our good friend J.O.B. Sox from Beantown was down.
Yep.
And Ben, two great listeners.
They're from Connecticut, though, not Beantown.
Well.
They like the Red Sox, but they're from Connecticut.
Okay, well, J.O.B. Sox does. Ben's cool, he's not. No, he's a Yankees fan, so I don't know which is cooler.
That's right. Ben likes the Yankees, so he's definitely cooler.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, they were down, so they just conveniently were in town, and we could put together home games, and we invited them over.
Had a great time. Had a great time.
Absolutely. Even though I didn't win money.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Phil.
We had an awesome hand together.
And you picked your butt, too.
We had an awesome hand together, me and you. Are we going to talk about that hand, or are we just going to go on about how great
you
were?
No, we're not going to allow you to gloat over your...
It wasn't a gloating thing. It was an amazing thing.
Your river double flop slap me in the face.
I had you on one board.
We're not going to go there.
I had you on one board, okay, and then great. I scooped. You were going on and on about that hand all day, too. You were a little Helmuth-esque. Because of that hand. You weren't happy. You were having
a bad
day.
See, is that Helmuth? Ask if it happens like once in a blue moon.
Oh, please. So, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, that's the difference. It's a frequency thing.
Whatever. All right, tell me about these tournaments you've been playing this week.
So, but then we got out to the Battle of the Bay was on Tuesday night. And
love the hyperbole.
Yes, exactly.
Love it.
This is a monthly tournament between Sarasota Kennel Club's One Eye Jacks top players and Lucky's Card Room over at Tampa Greyhound Tracks top players to get together once a month and battle it off. Get their name on a little trophy if they win. And our Andy Up Online correspondent and Andy Up National John Lanier won last month.
Yep.
And I saw his name was already etched on the trophy. It was pretty cool. And
you were dreaming.
Yeah.
Of getting your name etched on that trophy, too.
Apparently, the Sarasota contingent didn't, not all of them can make it, so Sam called up his good friends at Andy Up, and I took him up on the offer, and I don't know if you're familiar with this terminology, Chris, but there's something known as the bubble.
And you got them all.
I thought I had them all, but no, I keep seeming... find them.
And if I remember correctly, this one is extra special. Because you thought you weren't the bubble. But then everybody had to find a table. Said, oh, you know what? Let's pay the bubble boy a couple of bucks out of our pocket so they don't feel bad about going out on the bubble, which in turn makes you the bubble.
Yeah.
This was great. This was great, man. I loved hearing that.
So, yeah, the tournament paid five spots, and we were at the final table, and I think we got down to, I think there was some brief chop talk when we first got there, but it didn't go very far. And then we got down to seven, and I was at the low stack side of the table. I mean, we were all on one side, and it was very segregated. Table was all 45-degree tilt. Chips.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the cockroaches, as we like to call ourselves on the other side, that they just wouldn't go away, kept running a deal. And the policy of Tampa Greyhound Track is not to facilitate deals until they're in the money, but players can do what they want to on their own. And we weren't getting much traction. And Chris, I got to tell you, I went all in like six times in this tournament. I was dodging bullets, baby. And in fact, the one hand I love best was I had a queen five of hearts under the gun, moved all in. Got called by two king tens.
Wow.
Don't you love that when they flip it over?
Yes, because they got all the routes.
All the routes are gone. And then even better, the flop, a queen.
Yes.
Jack nine.
But wait, there's more to the story.
Oh, my God. Isn't that a killer? You're like, all right, I got what I needed. Yeah. Oh, my God. Now, wow. But there's two hearts on there, and I turned a...
Rivered.
No, actually, I turned to heart.
Oh, you turned to heart.
Yeah,
oh,
and so I stayed alive. But then finally, I got it all in with ace jack on the end, and against I think it was like king 10 or something like that. And
he was a chip leader, right? Didn't you tell me?
Yeah,
you
don't understand why he even won a call. He thought long. I hate that. Don't you hate that?
Yeah,
because you know when they're thinking long and hard,
usually it means
you have them crushed.
Yeah,
and you know they're going to suck out on you, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But you know I couldn't complain because I sucked out on people all night.
Yeah, you know going all in works every time but once.
Exactly. And I said that four times during the tournament, and people were looking at me like I was an idiot, but it's true.
True. Absolutely.
But yeah, so anyhow, I went out seventh, and then as soon as I shuffled away, I saw them giving money to the sixth place, and I asked him, hey, did you guys chop? He's like, no, nah, they just gave a little money to the bubble boy. And I'm like, well, that's me now. Go back, give me some more money. And they ended up doing a four-way chop, I heard later, and gave a little bit to the fifth place guy.
Oh, man.
And then last night I made it out to the Soaks. They had their really trying hard to get this Omaha 8 tournament going. They actually did two yesterday. Another 32 players or so. They really need to get more. Hopefully, we can get more players out there.
You know, the best way to do that. The best way to do that is to advertise it. Really, I mean, how are people going to know about an Omaha tournament out there unless they're advertising? We're talking about it on the
very
show.
True.
So,
very true.
You know, you let us give us the word, and we'll advertise for them. You know, we'll get people out there for them. I promise.
But I came close to making another final table, though that's not very
but no bubble this
exciting.
Time.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's the good thing is no bubble.
Well, and, that's good.
But let me ask you this, Chris. We saw a guy early on, probably about an orbit before I went out, that had, I think it was, let's just say $1,500, and it was $1,200 to call on chips. So he had $300 left behind, and normally in a no limit hold'em or something like that, you just put it all in and hope for the best.
Right.
But he was in a blind, so he could see the flop without going all in, and then in Omaha, of course, you can make a decision then because you could be almost drawing dead at that point. You might as well hold on to these 200 chips or whatever you have left over. Right?
Which blind was he in? A small?
I believe he was in the small.
Because if he was in the big, then you're just gonna have to put it in next hand anyway, and.
But, yeah, no, he was in the small. Exactly, so, he was in the small because he had exactly that was what he was saying. Is I've got five more hands coming up because we were shorthanded at that point.
Right,
and he didn't like the flop and he folded.
Wow,
and with 200, and then he ended up outlasting me. He ended up getting about 4,000 or 5,000 the next couple of times he went all in. So, and I think it's a very effective strategy. So here's the problem: is the hand I went out on, I was in a similar situation. I held 300 back. I had a suited ace, a pair of sixes, and something else. And the flop came 2, 4, 5, I believe, something like that.
So you had
if somebody had the wheel, I was drawn dead, and none of my flush cards were out there.
Mm.
And, of course, somebody did bet, so then I had to make a decision for my last 300 chips there. And
you called?
And I thought somebody, if he had a wheel, I was drawn dead, and I should have... I should have just folded, but there's so much money in there at that point, and I had a low.
Yeah.
Put it in. Of course, he had a wheel. Boom. Yeah. Drawn it in. Gone.
Yeah.
But it's tough in Omaha to think of that way because it's different. And no, let me just put it all in. And
it's just so weird, though. There's just so many cards out there. And if anybody's really getting involved in a hand, you know that they're going to have ace, deuce, three, or ace, three, four, or something. So, yeah, it's tough to get away from. It's definitely a different mindset to play Omaha 8 for tournaments when you can cling to that money and. You know, you really want to hit the flop hard in that game because you're going to lose it. You know, it's not like they just have two cards to fight you with. They have four, and it's brutal.
Yeah, and high-low, too. I mean, you get two chances of staying alive, and that's really all you need to do. So, you know, if you're putting that last 300 in with only one shot,
then
improving. But
what are you going to do? But you know what? You didn't bubble on that one.
No,
but
I didn't.
You have another chance to bubble, though, coming up. Thursday night, Apes, and it's the same tournament, isn't it?
It is. It's 8. Limit Omaha 8.
There you go. Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And that's on Full Tilt Poker, $5 plus 50 cents. Passwords ante up. I looked on there last night, and there weren't a lot of people signed up yet, maybe 10. So, you know, hey, pick it up.
Yeah.
Let's go. Where's the European contingent?
And it'll be a road game for me. I will be up in Ohio for the big Ohio State, Penn State
slaughter. Could it be?
I'm not sure who's getting slaughtered, but somebody's getting slaughtered.
How big could it be? Ohio State is not that good.
So I will have to be playing this tournament at my brother's house. So I'll have to adjust to the not being at my house with my Schlitz or Pabst.
I wish you luck.
I appreciate
that. It'll be cool. I'll be able to make fun of you long distance now. So
that's true. And we know you will be in at least probably 20 minutes. It'll probably take you that long to go out in Omaha.
And you know what's good, too? That the winner, whoever that will be, the banana is ready.
That's true.
All the bananas are ready. If we haven't sent you one already, they're going. And if we are about to send you one, they're going. Either way, they're going. They are ready. I designed them. They're ready to go. Scott's putting them together and sending them out. So your bananas will be in the mail. Other housekeeping stuff. Our November issue is out for our magazine. It's completely out. It's printed. It's in the rooms. It's on the way. We're sending them to the subscription people today. And I don't know how long it'll take them to process it. Do you have any idea?
Probably by the end of next week.
All right. So probably by the end of next week, you'll have them, or they'll be in the mail by the end of next week.
They'll be in the mail before then.
Before then. So you should have them by the end of next week. So that's pretty exciting news, our first subscription mailing. And a lot of good stuff. Of course, you know, we had the cover story with David Gino Ream, which listeners heard already. But a lot of other stuff in there that they haven't. I had a nice little interview with Michael Craig talking about his pay lamb venture and some other stuff. He experienced the World Series on both continents. Asked him what the differences were and things like that. Just a lot of good stuff. I reviewed one of those, a new book called... Winning Poker Tournaments One Hand at a Time by Pearl Jammer and some other online pros, Risen, Eric Lynch, and Ape Style. So it was a good read, and just a lot of good stuff in there. A lot of interesting stuff, a lot of good stories, stuff for Florida and stuff for everyone. So anyway, look for that issue, and if you haven't subscribed yet, you can. Just go to our website, anyupmagazine.com/subscribe. And, you know, for $25, you get a whole year's worth of our issues. And you know what I like most about our magazine, Scott, is our attitude comes out in the magazine when we write.
That's true.
You know, we still have our sense of humor when we write our columns. And I put a little bit of the podcast stuff in there, too, just to do some cross-promotional stuff. But it's, you know, some people are emailing me. They say, well, when's the magazine coming? Because I'm so tempted to look at it online. And I'm like, all right, don't do it. It's coming next week. You know, they don't want to see it first. They want to be able to see it in the mail. And so that's kind of cool. I love that enthusiasm, you know. But it's ready, and it's out.
Yes, and of course, go to the website at AntiUpMagazine.com, where you can not only subscribe and buy cool stuff from the store, but you can also still have a nice link to vote for us in the Bluff Podcast Awards.
Yeah, Bluff.
Got a couple more months before voting closes there. And then Monday night, 7 p.m. live Eastern, the PodcastAwards.com Podcast Awards nominees will be announced.
Man, I hope we're one of them. And if we are, we got to just obliterate it. We got to vote. You know, and I really hope we win this Bluff thing, too, because I really want... Because I have a feeling I'm going to be seeing Gavin Smith a lot, you know, with him coming back for all these tournaments. Like, he's coming back for the One Eye Jacks one over Thanksgiving week. I want to go down there and talk to him about it. You know, I want to just say, hey, remember me? Yeah. Well, you said you didn't remember me. So, which is it?
And, well, I'll buy him a beer.
Yeah.
And that'll jog his memory.
So, anyway, I really want to win that award, man. So, hope you guys can help us out. And of course, I always send out blanket emails to everybody, too, saying, hey, vote for us. So, but anyway, that's our housekeeping. And now, you know what? I heard the hotline clip, and I want to play it now. So let's give that a go.
This is Doug from Minneapolis. Just wanted to give you another 10-10 situation. Charity tournament up in Mille Lacs, $100 buy-in, $3,500 in chips to start with. I win the button on the opening hand. I get pocket aces. Everybody folds around to me. I raised to 600, big blind calls. I figure I put them on a pocket pair of some sort, I'm hoping, or ace, king, ace, queen, something like that. And the flop comes, 10, deuce, 3, what do? Well, I raise, so he checks, and he calls. Next hand is a 5, so we're looking at ace, 4, ace, 3. So I push, thinking that, okay, we're going to get him off the draw. He has pocket 10s. First hand. Have a great day.
Man, 10-10. That hand is just everywhere. You know, we get a lot of correspondence with 10-10, too. We had to play that one. We wanted to play it last week, because last week was
10-10.
But we totally forgot. We're, you know, we're just so busy, you know? But I don't know what the problem is, but if you, Doug, from Minneapolis, if you send us your complete address, we will send you a nice deck of cards from our sponsor, DB Dealer. And they're plastic. They got fire and they're really cool.
And be sure to call 813-448-1120.
What's that number again?
813-448-1120. And you too can win yourself a fabulous prize from one of our sponsors.
And you know, keep it under a minute, because people are calling and then they call back and they say, boy, you know, that machine shuts off pretty quick. Anyway, and then I'm like, no, man, I'm not going to edit all these clips together. Just try to keep it short. Short and sweet.
You got to practice. Get in front of a mirror.
Yeah.
A little stopwatch.
A stopwatch.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of Stalag 17. We are midway through a three-table league game. League games are interesting in that your image carries from week to week. It's folded to me in mid-position, and I look down at two black aces. I'm going to raise it up here to about 700, which is 3.5x big blind. I only want one caller here because I feel oftentimes it's very hard to get away from aces. Only the big blind calls, and we see a flop of 9 of spades, 8 of diamonds, 2 of spades.
I'm not afraid, sir. He could even have something, if I'm lucky.
But he comes out betting post-flop, a pot-sized bet of 1,700. Now, I started with 7,000 behind, and he started with nearly 9,000 behind, so that's a significant size. I paused to think. A limp call, then ready to take the lead in the hand. What is my action here?
Yeah, I don't even get the title. What does that mean?
Is it going over my head? It's got to be some kind of prison thing, right?
The Stalag.
So you're stuck and...
You're in prison.
That's what I'm guessing.
I'm thinking that the
prison here is that you've got a hand that could be ahead here.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough to get away from. So are you going to get sucked in for a life sentence by...
You know, we should have called Fox before the show and asked him to have prison break, sponsor this clip. I think that we're probably ahead, and this guy's just making a Johnny Chan move. But I have no idea. I have no clue.
Well, I tell you, this is the type of hand that makes sure that poker authors and poker pros pitching their products and people who will, you know, maybe have a poker podcast stay in business, because this is what really poker's about.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this guy could have a wide variety of hands here.
Yep.
It's not inconceivable that he had flopped a set there the way he played it. He could easily have 9-8 and have two pair.
He could have anything.
8-9.
Hey, the thing about if you had a set, now I'm not saying this is how I always play them, but if I had a set, I would want there to be a high card on the board before I played it that strongly. If the guy raised preflop, he could easily have ace king or ace queen, and I'm going to lose him. I don't know if I bet that strongly there, but maybe he does. Maybe he's got a read on because he said it was a turn league thing, right? So you know who knows? Maybe he knows that our detective has a overpair. But if I had a set, I think I might have played that one a little slower. So I'm thinking he's got like ace nine or something. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. See, an ace nine would make sense if it was a suited ace nine, but he can't have that because we have the ace of that. Could be king nine of spades, maybe.
Maybe.
That could be possible. Yeah. I'm not king of spades, but yeah, that wouldn't make sense either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think we just talked myself into thinking that I'm ahead here.
Okay. I think we're ahead, and we're just hoping we don't get sucked out on.
All right.
Well, who knows? We'll tune in next week, and we'll find out.
Make more money. Have more fun. Be a poker dealer. The Casino Dealer Video School presents the Learn to Deal Texas Hold'em Poker DVD. We cover everything. 23 table procedures like raking, side pots, mechanical skills, and practice exercises. It's great for home games or anyone who wants to learn the game. Call 1-888-567-2387 or go online, casinovid.com. That's casinovid.com.
Only $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
Order yours today.
This is Jennifer Harmon at Full Tilt Poker, and I listen to Annie Up.
Last week, Chris, I talked about the Florida Gaming Summit, the trip I made that you get sick on those tamales and they make.
But I'm feeling much better now.
That's good. And I wish I had some funny stories like the Brighton being closed or not playing. But this was a serious discussion. It's the fourth annual Florida Gaming Summit, and it's put on by a company that publishes a lot of high-end user-to-user kind of gambling publications, does a lot of research. Numbers and stuff, so it's an expensive little thing to show up. I think it's like $500.
Wow!
But it attracted a lot of the top executives in Florida poker and executives for poker elsewhere. Or, I mean, not poker, but necessarily, but gambling in the state.
Okay.
And it was an all day session, a bunch of topics that affect Florida gambling market. And for our listeners that are not from Florida. Or from elsewhere, I think a lot of the lessons that I learned there are applicable.
Universal
to other things. And they did mention they brought in a lot of They talked about California a lot. They talked about West Virginia, Delaware, you know, a lot of states like that that are dealing with a lot of the same issues in different ways.
Okay.
So I think our discussion today will, there's no reason for people to fast forward.
Okay.
If you're not a...
don't touch that dial.
If you don't have the state of Florida on your driver's license, there's a lot of interesting things that came out of this.
All right, cool. Well, I know that, not to get right back into Florida, but I'm sure that the compact that the state has with the Seminole Tribe of Florida had to have come up during this somehow, and did it, and what did they have to say about that?
Yeah, certainly. They had, in fact, an entire session on the compact, but it was discussed throughout a lot of things. And
well, what is it first? Let everybody know what the compact is.
Yeah, well, the news is that about a year ago, in November 07, the governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, signed what's called a compact with the Seminole Tribe of Florida that essentially allowed them to have Class 3, which is Las Vegas-style slot machines, in their casinos, as well as banked card games, blackjack, baccarat, things like that, but not craps or roulette. The Seminole Tribe agreed to share a share of their revenue, actually probably a pretty good chunk of revenue with the state, in exchange for some exclusivity, so that no other gambling properties in the state could deal those kind of games.
Right,
so essentially
right.
they have kind of a monopoly on some of the bigger games. It was immediately challenged by the Florida legislature, and it's been back and forth. The Florida Supreme Court actually ruled against it.
But that hasn't stopped the Seminoles, right?
Exactly, and that was a lot of discussions because it is still this amazingly gray area, and it really was fascinating to hear the different sides of this, and also a little depressing to know that there's probably not an end to this anytime soon.
Right.
And to be honest, I think the people that are making out best on this are the lawyers. There are a lot of lawyers there, and you could see just the dollar signs chinging in their head, too. And, you know, first of all, I think this conference was at the Seminole Hard Rock down in Hollywood, Florida, and I think some other people had asked me whether it was heavy on... skewed towards the Seminoles because it's actually in their property.
Uh-huh.
And I think there was some of that. I mean, obviously a lot of the speakers throughout the panels were Seminoles. But it's certainly a big news in the state. And a lot of states, are dealing with compacts now. You know, California, Schwarzenegger signed a big one with the Indians out there.
Right.
And some other states, too.
So what'd you learn?
Well, what I learned is it's just so confusing to figure out where this is going. And they had a couple... speeches from the Seminoles. They also had the compact discussion, which I thought was a little underwhelming. It was two lawyers from the Seminoles and then a representative from the U.S. Department of Interior, which looms large in these kind of compacts.
Yeah.
Essentially, the way compacts work in the country, there's a federal law back in the 90s that said that Indian tribes, and remember, they're sovereign kind of, I guess, essentially nations,
right,
even though they live in the U.S., they're allowed to have games that are allowed elsewhere in the state, but if they want to have games that aren't elsewhere in the state, then they need to work out a deal with the state. And there's some mechanisms in place. If the state doesn't want to talk to them, then the Department of Interior can come in and rule. And that's the kind of what happened here in Florida, is the voters allowed slot machines in a couple counties in South Florida, and that immediately kind of started the clock, if you will, on... getting these talks with the Seminoles. So what happened was that the legislature was not happy that the governor worked out this compact without consulting them and immediately sued. So it's kind of cool when the legislature sues essentially the state. So it's kind of in this limbo now. And the Seminoles, on their point of view, is that the Supreme Court invalidation is not valid.
Right, because they don't answer to the state. They answer to the federal
level. Exactly. So. And they feel that they have a legitimate compact still in place.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they're continuing to deal blackjack in the South Florida rooms. They have not expanded them to the other rooms yet, so I don't know whether that's kind of a calculated ploy not to fan the flames.
Was there, like, some sort of aura of indignancy there when they were talking about it? Like, they, you know, there's this compact, but we don't... you know, we don't really care, and
no, I think there was some anger that I think the Seminoles feel like they're being picked on, that they're probably swinging a big bat here when they really legitimately feel as if they have a legal compact and they're not doing anything wrong. And I think if there was any kind of indignation, it was that that they really feel that they're being picked on. In fact, actually, Jim Shore, one of their big lawyers, made a comment about how. You know, if anybody has a anybody feels that they've been wronged in this situation, it's the Seminoles.
Okay.
Now, whether you know people necessarily agree with that or not, but to the Seminoles' credit, they're being very smart, I think, in that they are continuing with the payments to the state. So they're essentially going on as if nothing happened here. And you know, I guess one course of action could be that they could just keep dealing this stuff, not pay the state, and wait for the Department of Interior to come in and give it to them anyhow.
Yeah.
But I think they're taking a higher road, hoping that that works out.
Well, that's cool.
Now, the most interesting part of this was the lunch address on Tuesday. Stephen Geller, who's a Florida state senator who has been probably the most outspoken advocate of gambling legislation in the state. He's been in the legislature, either the House or Senate, for 20 years now, and he's being term limited out this year, which is kind of a big blow to gaming interest in the state. And he gave a very honest and probably a depressing luncheon address on, one, the future of gambling legislation. We'll talk about that more. But on the compact, he really kind of laid out five options, none of them really feasible, except for the last one that he said... might happen, and that's essentially kind of a modification of the compact that probably is not going to make a lot of people happy, but it will actually allow
the rest of the state,
yeah,
to do so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but you know, we'll see exactly what happens, and that modification would be just allow the Seminoles to have slot machines and take away the bank card games, which obviously the Seminoles are not going to be happy with. I think gamblers are not going to be happy with, but because that's really the big contention here, and I think probably some other states will see this soon too, is that the Seminoles said that once the state allowed Class 3 slot machines, they essentially allowed Class 3 gaming, all Class 3 gaming. Of course, the state doesn't believe that, or people in the state don't believe that. So that's kind of the compromise they think that's probably most likely to work out. But who knows how long this is going to go. It could be a couple months. It could be years. And as we've seen, they went through a history, the timeline of the Seminoles, and they're trying to get gambling here. And it started way back in the early 90s. And here we are, 2008. And essentially, the big fear is that we're starting all over yet again, and you know nothing like this happens quickly. It's not like playing a sit and go online. You can jump in right one and get your result in an hour. It's going to take years and years and years.
All right. Well, obviously, when you get a lot of people like this together who control this amount of money, the economy had to come into play. I'm sure that they talked about Wall Street and everything, right? They must have had some sort of effect from that. It's being so fresh in their minds.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, Wall Street's a big story everywhere, and you know it seems like the Dow is losing 500. Points every day.
I know.
It's, you know, 401k statements you kind of want to just put in the paper shredder right away.
Not you don't even open them.
So they had a fascinating discussion on Florida and how excited Wall Street is about Florida, and three good analysts from around the country that pay attention to gaming interest in as well as Florida. And I think the general consensus is that Florida still is not a big enough market to rate a lot of consideration from investors. In fact, one of the panelists said that that with everything else going on in the economy now, you know, the auto industry is tanking, and you know, gas prices and things like that, that Florida gaming doesn't even rate a blip on many people's radar screens.
All right.
But the short end of it is that the economy is really having a big effect on the Florida gaming market and all the other gaming markets in the country and probably around the world for that matter now, because of the lack of capital, lack of lending, and really tough to get a loan. You know, most of our listeners probably know if they've tried to get a car loan or a house loan or any other kind of loan, that they what probably would have been an easy process before, they may have been denied now. If you can imagine just trying to get a loan for a car or a house in the global economy, that's a very insignificant thing. But so imagine if you're trying to build a billion or multi-billion dollar casino. Lenders just aren't giving the money for that. So what we're seeing at a lot of places, including Florida, is that they're either scrapping plans to build new facilities or aggressively expand them, or they're tapering back their expectations or the plans and doing it in stages, or they're just delaying in general. And we've seen a couple of those things in Florida. Boyd Gaming, which owns a lot of casinos out in Las Vegas and is taking a lot more cautious approach too. They bought the Dania High Line, which is eligible to put slot machines in,
right.
But they're taking a wait and see on whether they actually renovate the facility to accommodate them. You know, no one wants to put slot machines in an old facility.
Right.
Have people just come out. They want to have a nice new, you know, Vegas-like style thing.
Right.
And there was a great presentation towards the end, too, about the Miami High Line and Flagler Greyhound Track, which are in Miami-Dade County, which will be adding slots in the near future.
Yep.
And Miami showed some great slides of what their Fronton will look like. But they admitted that they've scaled back, and the only way to make this happen is to do it in stages.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll build stage one, which will get them enough amenities that make it attractive for people to come down. Not as many slot machines as they're allowed to have, but then they'll spend that slot machine revenue there and see how it goes, and then they'll be able to do phase two.
Wow.
When in essence, they kind of wanted to do from the beginning just the whole thing and get it done. And, you know, the other interesting thing, we came back from Daytona Beach Kennel Club on our big trip, and we were amazed at that nice new $30 million facility up there. And, you know, honestly, the GM of that facility was there, and he said that they were able to do it because they didn't have to finance it. They essentially sold the old track.
You're right.
And the old track financed the new one.
Wow.
And they were able to build this brand new facility that looks nice. And, you know, they don't have slot machines up in Daytona Beach, so they had to do it all based off of poker and parimutuel and off-track betting.
Right. Well, I always wonder when they get this many people together and they talk about the expansion of gambling, and I always wonder, do the people ever come up in these conversations, like how it affects the people, you know, whether they have too much gambling, you know, they have gambling problems, things like that. Is that kind of stuff addressed at these things, or is it strictly just how we're doing, how we're going to make money, how we're not going to make money, whatever?
I was a little surprised that they had an entire session on responsible gaming. Pleasantly surprised, I guess you should say. It sounds like they've been trying to have something like this for a while, and they just haven't in the past. But Pat Fowler, who is in charge of the Florida Council on Compulsive Gambling, was down and led a session that also had the CEO of Seminole Hard Rock Tampa, who is a voluntary member of compliance on this, as well as an executive training manager at the Isle Casino down in Pompano Park, which is, by state law, has to be part of the Council on Compulsive Gambling Standards. And they went through a discussion on how this all worked. And to be honest, the one thing that surprised me, a couple things. One, only the slot machine facilities in the state are required to contribute to this fund and be and have a program in place.
Hmm.
The rest of the gambling facilities in the state, which are numerous, can be voluntary members, but there's no state mandate that they have to. It sounds like a lot of them probably are active. And certainly the Seminoles, which are not required to... we're very proud of their voluntary effort, including giving $300,000.
And that's like unprecedented. I read about that too. I saw that they had donated some money. It was a huge check.
Yeah, and in general, that was the second surprising part of it too, is that the state mandates the money that the casinos pay into this can only go for awareness of compulsive gambling problems. So, you know, not unlike casinos around the country or probably around the world, you see a lot of, you know, can't stop or, you know, toll-free numbers and things prominently
right.
placed throughout the casino, you
right.
know, and advertising around signs. And that's part of it here. So that's all part of the awareness of trying to get people to recognize they have a problem and try to get help.
That's
but the
cool.
problem is the money has to go to strictly to awareness. It doesn't go to treatment. So essentially what you do is you're getting a lot of people that are saying, hey, I've got a problem. They have plans in place, like self-exclusion programs that the Isle does, where they're getting probably one person a day that self-excludes them from the properties, which means they
They tell them, I don't want to be here.
And then I'll make sure that, well, to the best of their ability, that they don't gamble there anymore.
That's cool.
But then after you've done that, then there's no money going into the actual treatment of the addiction. So, you know, to what degree does that really help? I mean, I guess it's nice to stop people from gambling, but if you're not helping them treat the addiction, that seems like kind of a problem. So the Seminole money is going towards that, and I think we'll probably see more money. Hopefully going there from other sources.
That's the other thing, too, though, is that this is like a windfall to them. I don't think they expect this $300,000 to come in their way. If they can start to expect that kind of money all the time, then maybe they'll start putting plans in place to treat it with that
money. Well, yeah, I certainly think that they want to do more treatment. It's just unfortunate that the laws don't allow them to use that money. So, but, you know, hopefully other people will come along and help contribute to that. Yeah. And, you know, again, it's another feather in the cap for the Seminoles. They're being very smart about the situation they're in here. And, you know, $300,000, I don't think is, you know, when you see the massive palaces they have and stuff, it's probably not, you know, a big expenditure to them. But, you know, it shows that they're willing to recognize the problem that are out there and try to help it.
All right, so let's wrap this up with the future. What do they have to say about the future? You know, we have so many paramutuals here and things like that. What's the future going to hold, they think?
Well, this is the most fascinating part of the thing, and they put it towards the end of the day.
Wasn't it fortunate then that I asked the right question at the right time?
Exactly.
The best part?
You were a very good interviewer there, David Frost.
Thanks, buddy.
they closed with two sessions. One was looking at paramutual casinos specifically, and in general with the slot machine things. And, you know, as I mentioned before, there are four paramutuals in Broward County that have been able to operate slot machines for a couple years.
Right.
Local option vote. Dania hasn't done it yet, but the other three have. And then Miami County denied the vote. The local option failed. Just now approved it recently. So I think the three there that are eligible are planning now to add slots pretty soon. So that will be we'll be watching that and see how that goes. But the real thing that's killer here, and they knew it from the beginning, was that the taxation on the slot machines is quite possibly an editorial comment here for me, but I think everybody agrees, outrageous in the state.
Is it 50%?
It's more than 50 when you count what they kind of call the effective rate. Uh-huh. Because the way the taxation is done in this state is different than other states. There are things that they take out above before the taxation hits in some other states that they leave in Florida. So, you know, essentially it bumps it up to more than 55%, which is just outrageous, if you can imagine.
Unbelievable.
And the end result, and of course people agreed that this was probably written because the legislators were upset that the voters voted for it, so they tried to design an enforcement regulation that would really make them fail.
Yeah.
And they haven't failed, they just haven't reached the projections that they thought, and what's really killing them is that they're not making enough money off of it to reinvest and build facilities that will attract people. And they talked a lot about in this, in the final session, which was just kind of an outlook on gambling everywhere, that what really helped is a kind of a critical mass kind of thing. You know, for example, the knee-jerk reaction to think would be the Seminoles would love to be the only game in town. I mean, who wouldn't want a monopoly, because that's the way you make your money. But, you know, they pointed out gambling is a destination kind of thing.
Right.
And there's no reason on earth that people would fly to a desert for 120-degree weather in the middle of the summer if there weren't 3 miles of nothing but casinos and, you know, dozens of them within driving distance.
Yeah.
So there's no reason anybody would go to Vegas without the fact that there's a lot. If there's just one big casino in Vegas, I don't think people would go, is what they're saying. You see probably a little less of that maybe in Foxwoods, though there's two. But for the most part, they talk about critical mass and destinations, and they think that's what really will spur Florida, and I imagine other places that are thinking about expanding gambling, is that you really want all of those facilities in South Florida to be able to build hotels and other amenities and nightclubs and restaurants and really become destinations, because then what happens is people decide to come to South Florida with gaming as their number one reason for the trip rather than a secondary reason. And then they go to the beach and other things as well, too.
Yep.
Now, and then a couple other probably upstarts are trying to
get full casino gaming at a couple of resorts down in Florida as well, too. And I think most people think that they're a little bit delusional in where they're going to go. So we'll see where that goes. And then finally, Senator Geller, really, he was called Senator Doom and Gloom by a lawyer at the last panel because his luncheon address was so down. But he really said that for folks expecting a big expansion in gambling, or even a small expansion in gambling, he doesn't see it coming in this next legislative session. The Senate is a little more amenable to it, but the House is pretty firmly against. It's a very conservative House now. Even if the leadership changes, there's still going to be a lot of conservatives that are firmly against gambling, and he doesn't think the elections are going to change that this time. For folks expecting, I think you and I and our other poker players would settle for just a couple of tweaks in the law to allow higher buy-ins for no-limit tournaments and certainly higher limit games. Certainly he didn't address that specifically, but doesn't sound like there's much hope of a lot of good changes coming.
Well, clearly you were the right person to go to this, and because you know what? You just talked for about 20 minutes, and I still don't understand a word you just said. But I'm so glad that you went and dissected it all and spelled it all out for me, and maybe later you can get some building blocks and help me understand what you're talking about and build a little pyramids out of them. But it was a good job. I as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, wow, how did he keep all that stuff in his head? That was really good. All right, so nice job, and of course we're going to have some of that in our December issue of our magazine, so stay tuned for that.
Hey, this is AJ Benz, and you're listening to Annie Up. Same. Ain't it a bitch?
Are you looking for different ways to build your bankroll, decrease your variance, move up in limits, or discuss strategy? GetAStake.com has your back. At GetAStake.com, you can get staked into games and tournaments, or just hang out and have some fun. GetAStake.com even has live voice chat. Sign up using the referral code ANTIUP to enjoy special promotions just for ANTIUP listeners. And read more about GetAStake.com in the November issue of ANTIUP magazine. GetAStake.com has your back.
Do you want to reach thousands of poker players in more than 30 countries around the world? The award-winning ANTIUP podcast is your best bet. Go to ANTIUPmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335 to explore advertising opportunities starting at just $100.
And would you like to read ANTIUP magazine? Go to ANTIUPmagazine.com and subscribe for just $25 a year.
Today's Hand of the Week brought to you by the good folks at the Poker Whiz Wheel, PokerWhizWheel.com. 169 starting Texas Hold'em hands, all in one easy spin wheel. And if you use the code ANTIUP08, save 20% off your Whiz Wheel, Chris.
It's a lot of savings.
It is. It's a pretty big savings. I'd like that's a fifth.
Good deal.
So that's like, what's 20% off 169 hands? That's like, 32 hands. 33 hands off.
Yeah.
Look at that quick pot odds calculation in my mind.
Oh, you're sad.
Now, unfortunately, our Whiz Wheel will not help us this week, Chris.
Okay.
But it's a good, valuable Whiz Wheel to have for other games.
Okay. It's all on me now. Sorry, Whiz Wheel.
But Matt Smith from Howell, New Jersey sends us a triple draw hand.
Triple draw? Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. You digest your Tylenol before the show?
Yeah.
You can be able to stay with me here?
Yeah.
And I'm taking a shot here. I normally review all these hands beforehand, but I figure any triple draw hand is going to have hand of the week possibilities.
Okay, here we go.
So hopefully Matt's not going to let me down here. Okay, limits are a $1 max bet.
Wow.
Yeah, they're introducing us to their home game.
Okay, good.
Having fun.
Good, good.
All right?
Yep.
All right, so our hero is dealt the ace of spades, ten of spades, queen of spades, four diamonds, four hearts.
Okay. Well, this is a terrible hand if we're playing deuce of seven triple draw. So I don't have to worry about that.
Guess what, Chris?
What?
We're not playing deuce to seven triple draw here.
What are we? What was it, like California lowball ace to five?
No.
What is it?
We're not playing lowball here.
We're playing regular draw three times?
Apparently we were playing triple draw, just triple draw poker.
What's next? Follow the queen next week? We're playing Anaconda?
So we're going to have a lot of fun with this, too. So now we're really going to have to think hard.
Holy cow. I don't even know what to prepare for. All right. I'm channeling Mike Caro times three.
All right. So our hero is dealt the ace of spades, ten of spades, queen of spades, four of diamonds, four hearts.
Okay, well, I get three draws at this now, so this is different, because normally I would just fold this hand if I was playing regular draw.
Exactly, because you got a weak pair, you got a royal draw here. Of course, you got three draws to get there. And an ace is...
I'm already
confused.
The problem will be if you pick up, like, an ace on the next hand.
Yeah.
You really throwing away aces? I guess you would, because it's triple draw, but... Yeah. Well, I guess since you get three draws, you could probably throw away the two fours. Although, if you got three chances to make trip fours, that's a pretty good hand, too, no matter how many times you draw.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, again, we haven't really dealt with this game much, so, boy.
Wow.
I got to think back on my video poker past to figure out what I would do here. And of course, in the video poker, you're going to go for the royal because that's what you need to.
But, yeah, of course.
but it's not video poker. Yeah. You're playing against your buddies in your,
for
in your home game. All right, well, Hero decides that he's best to dump the small pair as he thinks the only way he'll win is to improve to a full house. So apparently they've been playing this for a while and maybe trips are not winning.
Yeah, okay.
So he would know better than we.
With that knowledge, then if is he like... Yeah. With that knowledge, I probably would fold the hand, to be honest. But, all right, with that knowledge, I'll throw away the fours for a buck and see what happens.
Okay. Five other players to the table. So it's a six-person table, and our hero is under the gun plus one. The under the gun checks.
Okay.
Wow. This is a fun home game.
Wow. So then we all right, so we're set. We're next to act after the
we're
under the gun checks.
We're next to act.
This is weird.
Yeah.
Hey, nice job picking this hand, Scott. I'm glad you looked at it beforehand.
All right, so our hero bets a dollar into this pot of 150. Apparently,
well, see, now that's
antes.
Pretty scary because we didn't even draw yet. We don't even have that. We don't have any kind of hand really, and we're already betting. Wow, that's ballsy.
Okay. So just ante, so no blinds in this. So that's why the check beforehand.
Right.
All right, so he bets $1, and yeah, you're right. You know, I think if I'm able to check here, I'd like to check and take that free draw.
Absolutely. I mean, we're throwing away the only made part of our hand, too, you know? So I can't see myself putting money in voluntarily, especially if someone raises behind me. Then I'm going to pay $2 or $3 to, you know, that's ridiculous, to draw to nothing. You know what I mean? Right now we have nothing. So, wow. Okay. Well, all right, so you bet. I wouldn't have bet.
Okay. Three callers, so the pot's $5.50, and the under the gun guy who checked gets out of the way.
And
so
it's only a dollar bet the rest of the way?
Dollar max.
So I'm taking this one to the end now with all that money in there.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. That's you know, we're 5-1 now.
Yeah, 5-1, and then every time after that. So okay. Well, so what happens? It gets called, and we draw now.
All right. So we dump the fours like we said we were going to do, and we pick up the two of spades and the jack of diamonds.
Ooh. So now we got four to Broadway.
This is interesting. Four to Broadway and four to the nut flush.
Yeah, but we have more outs to the flush, so you can't. You can't try for Broadway and throw away the two. That's
exactly.
Stupid. So, all right. So what did everybody else take?
All right. So the player one flashes the ace of hearts and takes four.
Flashes the ace of
hearts. A lot
of
mind games going on in this
oh,
home game.
Man. Who cares?
Takes four. He called a bet. He's taking four, Chris.
So he flashes the ace of hearts saying that's what I have in my hand
I'm
taking
yeah,
four?
He's like, if he's taking four, I'd hope he'd hold on to the ace. I hope.
All right, so he's got the ace of hearts, and he's drawn four. So we know we're doing pretty good against that guy.
Player two takes two, and player three takes three.
That's weird. All right.
All right, so Hero says he's torn here. Figures there are more spades left out there than kings, four kings versus ace spades, and he decides to draw to his flush. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
You're not going to go this
versus eight.
Exactly. All right, so he bets out again.
Wow.
I mean, at this point, I guess I've got, two more draws to pick up a spade?
Yeah, although, you know.
Now, if he was worried about a full house being, that's what he had to draw to. So, I don't know.
I got to tell you, playing Badoogie a lot in our home game
right.
Now, when you have 13 outs
yeah.
to make your spade draw and it never comes. This, you know, I wouldn't be betting into this pot, no matter how many they're taking. Especially if the guy only took two, that means he could have trips. You know, I mean, I'm not saying he does, but if apparently a full house is take the pot down a lot, this guy's probably got trips already, or at least, you know.
All right, now his thinking was that the player who took four is probably going to be folding, and the other two players may have missed their draw, so he could take the pot down with this dollar bet.
$1 into a $5, and he got two more draws? I doubt it.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
I doubt it.
But, you know,
okay.
Again, this is their home game, so
yeah,
he probably
yeah,
knows
he knows better than
me.
We do.
All right, so we bets the dollar, player one folds, and players two and three call. So we're up to 850 now.
No rake. Love that.
Yeah, and, you know, this dollar max, too. I mean, the problem with the structure of this game, if I may interject here, is that in a draw game, you're almost always going to have odds.
Yeah, once you're in the pot, you're in it for the
game. I mean, it's like 8-1 now.
And unless you're totally
unless there's a raise, re-raise and stuff before it gets to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have to introduce it to our home game.
No. No, I'll sit out and deal.
All right, so our hero thinks he's behind his hand. Of course, he's got ace high right now, though he may be the favorite, depending on how the draws go.
Yeah,
he thinks that player three took three, may have started with a pair, and player two is probably trying to make some sort of straight. If he had three of kind, he probably would have raised somewhere along the line, which makes sense.
Okay, yeah. I'll go with that. I don't go with the bet, but I'll go with the fact that we're probably okay right now. I mean, we're probably behind, but I mean, you know,
yeah,
we're drawing to what we think is going to be the best hand.
Exactly. All right, so we get rid of the Jack of Diamonds, of course, and get a beautiful four of spades.
All right, we got our flush.
Got our flush.
Ace queen high, too. Ace queen high. That's pretty good.
All right, so then to recap, our hand now is ace spades, ten of spades, queen of spades, two of spades, four of spades.
Okay.
Five spades.
Wow, we got three to a steel wheel and three to a royal. Should we throw away two cards?
Ooh. See? Maybe we're getting somewhere with this.
No,
it's turning into a better hand after all.
No way.
All right, now you could say you could. He says that you could say that I could have made three of a kind if I kept the fours, but I probably got the same cards anyway. That's probably true. And of course, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he could represent all kinds of hands now.
The boat, but
he could represent all kinds of hands. You know. So, but I like our flush right now, and now I think I'll bet.
All right. Well, player two takes one card. Player three takes one card, and we bet out the buck.
Yeah.
Have to, right?
Yeah, the draw, and we made our hand.
Got what we need, right?
Yeah.
Two callers behind.
Okay.
We now have 11.50 in the pot. We, of course, stand pat.
Right.
Not going to try to improve.
Nothing crazy there. Try to get that king of spades.
Player two stands pat. Player three stands pat.
Wow, they all made their hands?
Everybody made their hand, apparently.
Wow. Uh-oh. Well, now I check.
All right, so he's like, so obviously our hero is confused, too. He's positive the neuter player is folding. They're going to check call, but they've obviously made their hands. Player two took two, then one.
Mm-hmm.
He says maybe a full house here. Player three took three, then one. What hand could he have made?
Hmm.
So he decides he's not really sure what they have, but he doesn't think he's beat here. Since no one has raised the whole hand, it must be okay.
Don't like that at all.
So he bets out.
Don't like that at all.
Yeah, if they stood pat, I think I'm just going to try to keep this pot as small as possible.
Yeah,
right?
I'm just checking. All right, so what happens?
Player two raises. Player three caps at three. And now we're looking at a two bet.
Oh, man. Well, you know, there's so much money out there. It's only going to cost me $3 to win 12, so, and now more. So I have to call. I think we're beat, but I have to call.
Yeah, yeah. And one of these could be a straight, too. Probably the second raiser could be a straight. So, I mean, we could have at least one of them beat. It's the third one that I'm a little more worried about.
Yeah, I'm
about.
Only afraid of a boat. I don't think I'm going to lose one. I could lose an ace-king flush, but we already saw one ace out. I mean, I guess that ace of hearts probably could have made an ace higher flush, but...
And, of course, he goes on to mention the insane pot odds here, so that's why he had a call. Showdown, player two shows...
No idea.
straight, which is what I thought. All right.
Okay.
And now player three shows...
Flush, that's not as good as ours?
That is correct. It's a club flush to the jack.
All right, so we win. I don't mind taking the cautious approach. The pot's big enough. And like you said, that triple draw in this hand, a lot of big hands usually get there. So I wouldn't mind the cautious approach. I totally don't mind it. But all right, cool, we got it.
All right, well, that's our first weird triple draw, no low ball hand of the week. So Mike, Matt, congratulations! You've got a whiz wheel coming to you.
Awesome!
And once again, if you'd like to get a whiz wheel, pokerwhizwheel.com, ante up 08, 20% off.
All right, well, Scott, I just want to thank you again for going to that summit without me and reporting back.
You would have been bored out of your mind. I, of course, loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. All right, I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the table. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@anyupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.